Okay, so Roberto Montalban. Ricardo.
Yeah, can we try not butchering the man's name?
So
Ricardo
the
Montalban.
guy that was in the Planet of the Apes.
And Kim Possible, yes.
Oh, yeah, and the airplane show Fantasy Island.
Was he in that?
Fantasy,
I
is
know he was
that?
in one of he was in one of them. I don't remember which one it was he was in, but he was in one of those like
It was
60s, 70s like shows.
like a Twilight Zone show where people would get a wish and it would turn out
That feels like
they'd
Fantasy Island, yeah.
Okay, that was Ricardo Montalban.
Montalban.
Montalban?
Montalban.
Mantelban.
Closer.
Okay.
That's actually closer.
Ricardo Mantelban. Montalban.
Montalban. There you go. Yeah.
I'm so
Yay.
sorry to the survivors of Ricardo
Honestly,
Mantelban.
I'm not, Latinx myself, so I know my pronunciation's not perfect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's we're not making fun of anyone, obviously.
Yeah, this is just us being really shitty at words and
I
vaguely
didn't.
making fun of each other for it.
He was very famously played by Benedict Cucumber Patch.
This one you're just doing for shits and giggles, yes.
Fraggle
My
Rock
under
Cucumber Patch.
Everyone still knows exactly who you're talking. My
Smaug.
understanding with his character though is he wasn't the same Khan, wasn't he? He was like a different guy who was also a Khan or something. I don't know. They did something weird with it where it
He
was like
turned out
not
to
the
be Khan.
He was Khan in the end, but he had a different
Yeah.
name.
Right. Yeah.
Because
It
they were
was
trying to
they
pull the
tried to it
wool over
was the
our
whole
eyes.
thing that yeah, the they tried to not let the audience know before the movie came out, and it just I don't know why everyone knew. We knew because they made such an obvious this is
When you do a
some
shark
dude
for
and
shark
not
remake, what do you expect?
John Huntington or whatever.
Yeah, when you do a shark for shark remake, what do you expect? Like everyone's gonna know.
So before that, yeah, and it's the second movie, and yeah, and it's
Yeah, no.
expected. People just expected it, and they were like, "We're not doing Khan, we're doing John Harrington." But before all that, in the 60s, in 1967, on February 15th, 1967, am I doing your job?
You're getting really close, but not quite. It's
Oh,
February 16th.
I in front of me. It says February 15th on the on Amazon.
Oh, on the spreadsheet I've got from when I pulled it off of, I believe it was pulled off of either Wikipedia or Memory Alpha, was 16th.
I mean, we're finding a lot of conflicting data. Not, no,
We
no,
are.
no one was writing all this down in the 60s.
Yeah, no, we're doing the best we can, but
So he appeared in on one of those dates, February 15th or 16th, in this episode, Space Seed, which I have never seen. I don't even
You've never
know
seen Khan?
the only thing. Well, I mean, I've seen The Wrath of Khan.
No, but you've never seen the Khan episode?
No, I have no idea how they ended up leaving them on that planet full of leeches.
Oh, this one's gonna be good.
Yeah, what do you, what happens in it? What do you remember?
I just remember being really, really good. I don't remember the details, but like I've seen this episode a couple times, and it's just fun. It's Star Trek. You know how much I love this shit. Like, as always, I can't give details because I'm shitty at giving details, but it's a fun episode, and I remember enjoying this episode previously. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, seems like this is maybe the ultimate super classic episode of TOS. Either this one or Mirror Mirror, probably.
I don't know, because like, I mean, we've watched Arena. Arena's up there as one of the most as one of the
Recognize,
classics.
yeah, it's got The Rock in it.
It does. It's
Not Dwayne Johnson.
not the actual Rock. No, that's
The
anyways.
actual Rock. So the
Is
man is the
it?
actual Rock, and the
Yeah, he
actual
is.
Rock is just the Rock from Arena?
Yep. But there's also like The Edge of Tomorrow is like a
Yeah,
really
that's a real
recognizable.
that's yeah, that one is super
Oh,
classic.
sorry,
Oh yeah.
Edge of Forever. I mean, like
Oh,
there's
City on the
that's
Edge
the
of Forever?
yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
there's just, I don't know. I think part of it is recognizing, like, there's so many of the episodes that are vaguely forgettable, without any disrespect to them, but they aren't as memorable. So the couple of them that are really particularly, like, mind stampy stick out so much, right? And feel like they're the only one. So yeah, there's,
Sure.
like, this is up there in the most recognizable. I don't know if it is the most recognizable, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. It's a good little episode. Montalban does a great job. He fits in perfectly with everybody else. Like,
Yeah.
he feels like he should have been on the show from day one type thing. Like, he feels like he's just part of the cast, you know?
Yeah, he feels that way in the movie. Like, he really, yeah. Yes, this is episode 22 out of 30. We're cooking
Yeah, we're
through
almost done
season
season one.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're getting there. Do you want me to give the deets, or do you
Yeah,
want to? Do I keep doing my job for me?
other than February 16th, what else do we know about Space Seed?
So it's directed by Mark Daniels, which is somebody
Okay.
that we've seen a couple times. You and I, he's been kind of hit or miss for us. He's not someone we're super jazzed by based off of our previous ratings, but like sometimes he really hits the mark.
Okay.
Story was written by Carrie Wilbur, who did the teleplay as well alongside Gene L. Coon. I've got an 8.7 out of 10 from IMDb. And yeah.
All
Con.
right. Cool. Con. Con time.
Con!
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
All right, let's watch it.
I can't wait for you to see it.
All right, cool. I'm gonna see it right now.
Woo!
All right, hello and welcome to The Least Ready Room, a podcast about Star Trek. Today we are this is the one where we are gonna look at and talk about Space Seed. There were a whole bunch of people here for this one. Yeah, myself, Chris, Saint, Weebs, as usual. Sean was here, and maybe even someone else like Fickle Pickle Pie or something. I will, of course, figure out who was here and credit everyone in the show notes below. So let's see what everyone had to say. Recording. Tell me about the time, please, that you overthrew the Spanish government.
That's just a thing he says. He's being dumb. Ignore
Oh,
him.
he didn't
So if
overthrow.
we're somewhere, it's going to be Spain
Oh,
because
my
they're kind
God.
of due.
Oh?
Yeah. Their last big Civil War thing was like pre-World War I. So time to go overthrow Spain.
Did they have an Inquisition?
Not recently, although if there was one, it would be very surprising.
Oh, I just, yeah. So is that on Monty Python? Is that the Spanish Inquisition that comes, or?
Yeah, that is the Spanish Inquisition.
No one ever no
No
expects
one
the
expects, yeah.
no one expects the
Their
expansion
tools are
to
fear and surprise. Fear and surprise, and then the gag starts running as they just add more and more things to what they do.
Michael Palin's amazing.
How do you like, how does everyone like Space Seed?
Never seen it.
Ever seen that?
Oh yeah, Fickle was here.
One of those semi-classic episodes. Like,
Semi-classic.
semi-classic. It's not Gateway to Tomorrow. Is that the one I'm thinking? Guardian of Tomorrow. That's the one I'm thinking.
Oh, I don't think we've seen that one.
Guardian of Tomorrow?
I think it's Guardian of Tomorrow.
I think you might have the wrong one in
I
mind.
might have the
Yeah.
one with the time door.
The time door is the edge of tomorrow,
Oh,
or
the Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah.
the time door
City on
is
the edge
the edge
of.
of forever.
City on the edge of forever.
City on the Edge of Forever. That's the time door one.
Okay.
That's a couple of weeks from now.
That got voted one of the better episodes of TV for its time. So,
That
jazz
one is
hands.
definitely one of the ones that gets brought up. Like that's a when you're talking to people who don't know about Star Trek or don't, you know. That one is known.
There's a handful of the original series that stand out starkly. In between the just generally kind of hokey good time stuff and the occasional total flop.
Quick note on fun facts about this. This episode is the third highest rated episode in season one, Space
Oh.
Seed. Edge of Tomorrow is the highest.
Edge of Tomorrow?
For Edge of Forever. Oh my god.
Oh god. What's number two?
Balance of Terror.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense to me. That one's like super classic. Yeah, that's a good one. This one is probably considered classic mainly because they made a movie about it. I mean, it's so good.
Ship Battle.
Ricardo Montalban chews up the scenery a little bit, even before he goes full con in the movie.
Okay. Chaos, what are your opinions concerning Star Trek Into Darkness? The con one.
I like Benedict Cumberbatch. He was a freaking awful choice.
Correct.
It didn't quite,
with what he was handed, but it is one of the few roles where I'm all like, no, you needed to get a brick of a man. You needed to get somebody who's kind of triangular and dresses to hide it, but he looks like he could tear your arms off.
Yeah.
And he's not going to. That would be rude.
You want a Chris Hemsworth?
No.
Because that's the Thor guy, huh?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to...
We want Aquaman. We want Jason Momoa.
Yeah, he'd work.
Jason Momoa as Khan, I would love to see, actually.
I feel like part of the problem for Jason Momoa, though, is he's too nice of a guy, and he's too known to be nice. I don't see him in a villain, you know?
I also would have preferred if they've gotten somebody, yet again, generally not white. Because it's Gen X war.
He doesn't look like a Noonien Singh.
No. He doesn't look like anything. He looks like some white bread guy.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It works for him. I like his work, like I said. But seriously, fuck off. Stop. I guess they were going off the Sherlock thing and that whole... callous genius.
He was doing,
I guess that's
kind
where
of cold, yeah.
But then he picks up like the minigun and starts laying into the Klingons or whoever the hell it was. I don't even remember. And it's like, I don't believe you. I don't. Yeah, no. There's other cast. I would have preferred another casting choice. There were a few other problems with the movie in general. Like it was made. Like it didn't need to be made.
Right. There's one thing. Did you like the reversal of Kirk being inside the radiation chamber?
It was fine. By that point, though, they were doing a lot of beat for beat.
Yeah.
And I get it. You wanna call back to your extremely like one of the most popular Star Trek movies, arguably the most popular Star Trek movie.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe the most well known.
You suddenly have to go look up the stats on the Star Trek movies.
What stat do you want? Like the ratings?
Yeah, which one has the best rating?
I'm gonna remind you that I do have this information.
I'm not gonna say anything about grossing because the modern movies are gonna blow anything.
Yeah, we don't know how the score is, yeah.
I'm pulling the spreadsheet back up, so just give me a sec, I'll have that soon.
Yeah, Star Trek reboot as a whole, I liked the idea. Especially all those little moments with Nimoy, because...
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's nostalgia done right, where even the actors...
Oh, I don't have the IMDb.
...are like, oh my god, I'm talking to Spock.
I don't have it actually yet, so I will fill that in now.
A more reasonable rebuild would have been, was it 4 with the whales and the space monster?
That was such a good movie.
Like, that was very clearly just going, that's going to happen. That doesn't care about Federation history.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is not going to be affected by what happened to Vulcan 15 years ago. Brief expanded lore nonsense. Yeah, that is generational pro from a telekinetic superpower race.
Then
I'm not going to give a damn about Vulcan. It's going to go to Earth and it's going to go check whales. No one's going to fucking stop it.
Boy, that would have been funnier to see that movie get remade in like 2015.
And then this new action crew being stuck.
Yeah. Getting into fights. Fighting over whales.
Anya.
That could be a hoot.
Yeah.
And they grabbed the action movie with Khan, which honestly wasn't all that action-y a movie by current standards. The original Wrath of Khan.
Oh, the original, no.
It's more, like, it's a drama.
Gave me nightmares. For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Scary things. Yeah, it was almost, it was like Alien. It was like a horror movie.
Yes. There is this foe that is here to kill you. And he's going to kill you slowly to watch you die. Because he would like to watch you die.
Yeah.
Continue dying.
He's really interested in watching everyone that he met on this episode that we're about to watch die. I love Star Trek Beyond and I love Carl Urban.
Carl Urban knocked it out of the goddamn park.
like spot on.
That improv line, but the only thing she left me in the divorce was my bow.
Yeah!
No way, she got the whole goddamn planet in the divorce. All she left me was my bones.
My bones.
And that was a beautiful way to just put a little hat on that whole bones thing. Because, you know, sawbones, sure, whatever. No. No. No, all that you've got left is your bones. So this is Kirk. Every time he calls this man Bones, ribbing him about his divorce.
It's better than the guy that decided that Han Solo's last name would be Solo because he was alone.
Yes, they did better than that.
All right, I finally finished getting all of the movies, like IMDb ratings in.
Oh boy, what are they?
The highest rated of all of the Star Trek movies.
Two.
Is the original Star Trek.
No way.
7.9 out of 10. Star Trek Into Darkness and Wrath of Khan both have a 7.7 and are number two.
There is no... I want to know where these numbers are coming from. There's no way that people like Star Trek the motion picture. They don't.
That's the reboot.
Oh, that's the reboot. My mistake. No, it's the JJ.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the one with freaking Nimoy.
Thank you for reminding me how to read my own.
That's fine. That's fine with me. Yeah.
Motion picture is second lowest at 6.4.
Second last, and yeah, of course.
It's not Nemesis and Insurrection.
I love Insurrection.
Dude, this is the best part. Final Frontier is the worst movie, and it's 5.5 out of 10, and then, like, second worst movies are at 6.4. It is so bad, it's almost a full point lower than the next best movie in the series. And the next best ones are Nemesis, Insurrection, and the original Star Trek movie.
Yep.
Like, dude.
Final Frontier had, like, a line, and it was, why does God need a starship?
Oh, boy.
It was garbage.
That's one of my favorite lines in Star Trek history. You know what? I love Star Trek V also.
Yeah, I'm just going to interrupt God and ask why he needs starship.
I love it. It's not even Captain Kirk saying it. Like, that's William Shatner being like, come on.
Come on.
Come on. Yeah, no, I can definitely see the reboot getting the highest ratings because...
It was a good movie.
It was solid.
I liked Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
You know, Simon Pegg almost coming to tears when Nimoy turns to him and says, you are Montgomery Scott. And he's all like, ah, God, I'm in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Saint?
Hey, Saint.
You want to just get started? Do you want to say anything about Space Seed?
No, we'll talk afterwards.
Okay.
That's fun.
Well, then. Everybody, thank you for being here. Let's take a look at it. Man, I promise, I swear, at some point I'm gonna figure out to not eat while we're recording these episodes. Like, I seriously sit here right in front of this microphone and just munch pretzels, and I don't even know. Oh, I think it was pistachios I was pouring. You could hear me pouring them into a bowl. Anyway, my apologies. I'll figure out. You know, a lot of the times when we're recording this particular show, it's Friday night, and everyone's high, and I'm eating fucking peanuts or whatever. So anyway, I'm going to stop. The reason I'm saying this is because I happen to know. I happen to know that in the episode we recorded like 2 days ago, I was eating pretzels the whole time. I even talk about it. Anyway, I'm a fucking slob. I'm trying my best. I'm gonna get better. Let's talk some more about Space Seed.
Only the your bugs survived.
Were they put on SETI Alpha 5 or 6?
I don't remember.
I think Kirk puts them on SETI Alpha 6. And then Chekhov, which is funny, has never appeared in the show so far. But yeah. Chekhov goes to SETI Alpha 5. And what has happened is the reason it is now the fifth planet instead of the sixth one is because the fourth one has exploded. There you go.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And it's, but it also, Chekhov is not in this, and
who's with him?
Just like Chekhov, the captain of guy. His.
Yeah.
Captain Terrell of the Reliant.
So not a goon.
No, another captain. And it's funny because in Star Trek 2, Khan is like, I never forget a face. Chekhov.
He does.
Chekhov isn't even in this fucking episode.
He's not even in the series.
He's even in the series, and Chekhov acts like, oh, it's the Botany Bay. Yeah. I remember that. I remember, Khan.
Botany Bay.
And then, Terrell is like, what the hell is this? And he's like, this dude tried to kill our captain and take over our starship, man. I guess he was there as an ensign.
He's there, even though we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
Chekhov recognizing Botany Bay and this Khan thing shouldn't be that surprising. Successful takeovers of the Enterprise were relatively uncommon. Relatively.
And Mud did it, too.
There's a few, but, definitely worth mentioning when you're having a drink.
Yeah.
In that time, those eugenic super soldiers almost murdered us all.
Yeah, I think I think we can just kind of ignore the continuity and assume Chekhov was there, but not like on the bridge.
Exactly. I think canonically he was on the ship when it was taken over, and yeah. You remember your ship getting taken over by a 1990s
Superman.
Ricardo Montalban.
Dictator. Looks like Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, it looks like him.
No, if it's just Ricardo Montalban, this is not a character.
It's just him. Yeah.
Or it's just Mr. Rourke from the Fantasy Island.
What the hell was that about?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Never watched a single episode.
Everyone always mentions that whatever. How do you pronounce his name? Montalban?
Montalban, yeah.
Montalban?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone always brings up Fantasy Island, but it's some kind of like dark fantasy show where like people have wishes but then they get monkey's pawed.
Nice. So kind of like monkey's pawed with like a tropical island or something vacation mixed in. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like they come to the island with some kind of wish they want to do. So yeah.
Okay.
And they get their wish, but they also get whatever kind of baggage.
Yeah, they get monkey's pawed it.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's see what the Star Trek Compendium has to say about this.
Yeah, you got that book with you?
Yeah. Cary Wilbur began his story outline for Space Seed by explaining how a man from Renaissance times would be out of place in today's world.
Okay.
The same was true, he theorized, for a man of this century transported into Star Trek's era.
Interesting. Okay. I thought it was neat that...
Yeah, the outline's Khan was Harald Ericsson, a man reminiscent of ancient Vikings. His first act was to assault Captain Kirk. He was then subdued and deposited in the Enterprise brig with the other survivors. The Enterprise people at first knew nothing about the Botany Bay, and Ericsson committed a murder to prevent them from learning the truth. Ericsson captured the Enterprise intending to become a pirate using the starship.
Wow.
When Marlo is in danger of becoming shot during a phaser fight, Ericsson surrendered and accepted his fate. Okay, so a little different during the initial draft, I guess.
That sounds pretty different. I like
Space
that.
Space Siege is a handful of Star Trek episodes that includes the expensive luxury of a miniature spacecraft created especially for this occasion.
The Botany Bay.
The Botany Bay. Customized submarine model with added central core and antenna.
Cute little guy.
Yeah.
1990s spacecraft.
Yeah, from the eugenics wars, the last of our world wars, apparently. This is the alternate Star Trek timeline. This is when it first starts to really get solidified. These throwaway lines about how there were some big wars in the 1990s and Khan Noonien Singh ruled like all of Eurasia.
Yep.
Or, you know, like the Middle East to the Pacific or something.
And they series one movie several decades later.
Yes, exactly. But one of the very few plot storylines where people are like, I wonder what will happen to them in the future. And then most of the time in Star Trek, the answer is, who knows? We never go back.
Until Lower Decks.
Yeah, until Lower Decks. Yeah, lower exactly. Deck
answers a lot of those questions with fuck.
Yeah, I don't know if I even mentioned this to you last week, Saint, but yeah, there's very specifically a Lower Decks cold open about Landru, the computer that does
the
purging.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Landru apologizes.
Do you think that the very end of this episode is some kind of setup? Do you think that the writer of this was like, I might want to return to this concept, and that's why... Is it Spock that says it would be interesting to return in 100 years?
Yeah. Maybe.
Kind of neat that this... That setup exists.
Look, I want my Harry Mudd movie. That's what I want. I want a Star Trek movie, Harry Mudd, go.
You want it starring Rainn Wilson?
Have you seen the Rainn Wilson episodes?
Do you know who Rainn Wilson is?
I have no idea who Rainn Wilson is.
I haven't actually seen those episodes, but Rainn Wilson is he's Dwight in The Office, the U.S. Office version, but he also plays Harry Mudd in Discovery.
Yeah,
Discovery, so right? Or Enterprise? Or Enterprise. No, okay, yes.
Give me a second, I'm just going to build a full picture.
Fine.
Yeah.
He's this guy. He's that goon who's in a bunch of things.
They could have made a Harry Mudd movie. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, that guy. They could have made a Harry Mudd movie instead of remaking the Khan movie. I would have been much more pleased by that, but they are taking themselves way too seriously.
Harry
Mudd. I like Benedict Cumberbatch too, but he is not Khan. Give me a fucking break.
That's what we were saying before you got here.
Yeah. Like, come on.
He doesn't look like a Noonien Singh.
No. Ricardo Montalban is not North Indian either.
No.
So
that's real correct as well, so.
They were just like brown man.
Yeah.
You're brown, right?
He's kind of medium colored.
Ricardo Montalban, he's Mexican. Yeah. He's from Mexico. Yeah. So
look, I'm just vaguely pleased they didn't try to do up any sort of whack job makeup to make ethnicity.
Oh boy, yeah.
The 60s.
The hair was enough.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, exactly. His hair. Give him that wig.
Really is like just a helmet. It's like a plastic helmet shaped like hair.
Yeah. I'm just trying to see what else he was in, like, before this. Because I think Fantasy Island was actually after this.
Some Planet of the Apes movie.
Fantasy Island, Planet of the Apes, and Kim Possible were the big ones that came
from. Oh, yeah, Kim Possible, yeah.
He was in Kim Possible, nice.
Yeah, he was in your senior.
Yeah.
senior. Yeah.
He was so good in Kim Possible. It was weird how good he was.
Oh, the West was one Emmy Award winning TV show. Yeah, he had a long career. He was a big actor.
So is the Section 32 thing, is that a movie? Is a Star Trek movie coming out? Is that happening? Or is that another show?
I thought we figured out that it was probably a show.
Oh, we did, okay. I don't know why I think it's a movie.
I'm double checking right now.
But they should still do a Harry Mudd movie with Rainn Wilson. Like, there's no reason not to do that.
Doing a Section 31 something.
Yeah, it's going to have Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, sure with that lady.
It's been off of
Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Okay. I sort of can see that because...
Oh, no. Apparently it's a movie.
It is a movie. Like, it's going to be... Like, they're making a Star Trek movie for the first time in...
9 years.
Spy movie would be the implication, which sounds kind of like a nifty premise, at least.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. No, do you remember, like, the first episode of Discovery?
Yeah.
There was, like, the chick captain who, like, dies or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
Except she didn't really die.
No, she joined the Black Ops.
Because Section 31 does things.
Yeah.
That's not... That's close enough.
Yeah.
Without
giving away a lot of what happens in Discovery. Yeah. But yeah, I'll watch anything with Michelle Yeoh.
It says here that it is a television film.
Is it made for TV movie?
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe that's streaming. It. Maybe it'll just be on Paramount Plus. In fact, the logo is a Paramount Plus. I guess it's like a Paramount Plus original. So I would like to see them make a theatrical movie, but I mean, I'm fine with this.
I'm fine with anything with her in it, honest.
Yeah, Star Trek Section 31.
The time cops, right?
No, Section 31 is like the black ops.
Oh, yeah.
Section
31 was, I suppose, the answer to everybody being all like, why is Starfleet all egalitarian and stuff? There's definitely enemies that would exploit this.
Uh-huh.
And I guess somebody needed an answer for that, and the answer was spy crimes.
Right. Yeah, I remember hearing about that, even though I haven't actually seen that whole thing. Man, Federation doesn't need to have spy crimes.
Bashir and Garrick
accidentally
killed this guy. And then they're like, shit. Garrick's like, I fucking poisoned him. He's going to die in 30 minutes, and he's got the password in his brain. So, in a long line of Bashir and Garrick spy episodes, they have to go into a holographic version of his brain and interrogate him during different parts of his life to get the password they need before he dies. Excellent.
Also, it's like Inception.
Yeah, that's a really good... there are some... I mean, it is well known that there are some incredible Bashir and Garrick episodes, but that's a good one. There's a lot of people on DS9 going, oh shit, I've accidentally killed this guy.
That's not a good thing.
Iggy Pop gets fucking assassinated by some Ferengi.
Because he's everywhere.
Yeah. He is. He at one point, and in fact I've said this before and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I heard that he had the record for the most different roles.
We had looked it up. He had like 11, and there was somebody who had 14, I think, if I remember
correctly. It was some guy that like you've never heard of that was like in the background of 1,000 scenes. Yeah. I don't know. It sounded like I just said that Iggy Pop had like 11 roles on Star Trek or something like that. But I was talking about Jeff Combs, of course. Somehow I got confused between Iggy Pop the Vorta and Wayun the Vorta, played by Jeff Combs. Or maybe I just missed it while everyone was talking at once. Anyway, what's up? Let's continue.
Look, the guy's got to eat.
Yeah.
Guy's got to eat.
I kind of love that about Star Trek. I love just slapping weird makeup on whoever's around. And grabbing whatever costumes from whatever productions are going on nearby.
Cool job, Nav.
Yeah. They definitely have a serious vibe of, like, in a lot of episodes, of just, like, we have an extra, like, cowboy set lying around, let's use this.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, we have an extra, like... This one, I obviously, they made the ship for it. I don't have any jokes, but the other ones too, where it's like, well, we have a day in the park, so let's go film in the park.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the city is willing to close off this park for us, so let's go do it.
There's a production filming next door with barbarians, so we're going to get some barbarian costumes for this one.
Yeah.
Fuck fake trees at things.
Yeah.
Tree trunks with a spear tip on the end.
Yeah.
I love it when they run around the park. Or around the desert rocks. Finding veins of sodium and whatever to make the Gorn cannon.
Gorn blaster.
So yeah. Yeah, so that was Space Seed. They meet those guys again.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them get killed by the brainworms.
That's too bad.
Yeah,
too bad. Brainworms are very scary.
Including Marla, apparently.
Aw.
Explicitly Marla.
Yeah.
She gets brainworms?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Khan says something like, my beloved wife was killed.
They killed however many of my... however many of my people.
Basically, the ones that they couldn't get to come back.
My beloved wife.
Yeah, basically, the ones that couldn't get to come back died. Got it.
Yeah, then he sticks it in Chekhov's ear because fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember inputting in Chekhov's ear. I don't remember. I only saw Khan like once or twice. Like, I don't remember well. I don't remember the bit about everyone dying, but I'm not surprised.
Sounds like a skill issue to me. I mean, he was like, I'm going to conquer. Give me a planet to conquer. I'll take it. And then he's like, oh, wait, this one. I didn't mean one with a neighbor that blows up. It's not even his planet that blew up. It's skill issue.
Yeah, skill issue. I like, he's still got oxygen on that planet, right?
Yeah.
They're not even suffocating.
He's never seen Dune. He can't build a. He can't replicate a stillsuit.
He's got something like a stillsuit. He's got like a stillsuit thing on.
Yeah.
I think in the movie. We're talking more about the movie than we are about.
The episode we just watched?
The episode we just watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The episode's mostly about the seduction, let's be honest.
The very creepy seduction, yeah.
It's the extremely creepy seduction.
Yeah, he's being nasty to McGivers.
Well, he doesn't have long to make an impression and get his booty in the door. So, yeah, he's going to be a manipulative little shit. I get it. I understand. Why you are choosing these methods, that does not make you any less wretched.
No.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty well established that he's a terrible person.
Totalitarian dictator from the 1990s.
One quarter of the planet thought he was great when they were polled. You anonymously polled. It was totally anonymous.
Yeah, I heard that the entire section of the world that he ruled over all thought that he was extremely great. That's the rumor.
Everybody voted for him in every election.
That's right. He was one of those types.
I don't think they did voting.
No, probably not.
No.
Not during the eugenics wars.
He still won every election, just because the number of elections was zero.
We don't know too much about what went on. We know that eventually, was it way later on that they had soldiers on like crystal meth or whatever with like tubes, with like Kedrosol white tubes?
That was well after the eugenics wars, if I recall. That scene from the first episode of Next Generation, yeah.
Yeah.
I suddenly want to watch it. I think they were talking about that being 21st century.
Yeah, they were like the post-atomic horror. That's what they called it, the post-atomic horror.
Was there an atomic annihilation around the turn of the 21st century?
Yeah, I think the idea was that they evolved the idea of what was going on with the quote-unquote eugenics wars, and then said this was actually a nuclear exchange, or like at least a limited nuclear exchange. So that's part of why like the records were sparse and fucked up, and they didn't realize that they had Khan in front of them when they pulled him out.
And then Mr. Cockrum had that camp out in the woods where he was building spaceships sometime after the atomic exchange?
Yeah, sometime after that.
I believe technically his drive was a repurposed warhead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cochran's first flight was in 2063.
Okay. Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a significant time later.
Like the, I think with DS9 had that race war episode that's happening now.
Yeah, that happened like just now. That happened like earlier this year, the Bell Riots.
And it is not entirely wrong.
Yeah, 2063 was first contact.
Oh, the classic Zephyr and Cochran episode from the original series.
That you had never seen and I was blown away. Yeah,
because I think it was the only episode I hadn't seen. Or maybe I had seen it and it erased itself from my memory. It's pretty blah.
Have we seen it?
No, we have not.
Okay. I honestly, we talked about it, so I kind of, in my head, I don't know if we have or not.
No, it's mid-season two, okay. If I remember correctly.
I feel like some of the stuff around the, what's going on around the 20, well, obviously, because Picard season two, like, kind of takes place in 2020. I think that's probably before any kind of nuclear exchange, but I've mentioned before that I'm, like, unable to remember Picard season two, but I think it touches upon what was going on around
it. Basically said, we have deliberately made the past fuzzy because we're going to change it.
Yeah.
Because time exists. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's, I mean, yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. I think that kind of science fiction is kind of better if you don't pin down too many exact dates for this exact reason.
Yeah, it's good if it's a little bit bendable. You know?
If it's a little bit bendable, like in the late 21st century.
Or
not even that, just like some time ago. Like early, in like these early Star Trek episodes, like near the beginning of the season, before they sort of had their timelines sort of like pinned down or whatever, you know. They had these guys, Trelane going like, I'm looking at 800 years in your past, but he's looking at Napoleon, which should only be like 400 years for these guys or something. I don't know. Not 800. And so the timeline was like a little fuzzy, and, you know, I think they're starting to firm it up in this episode with stuff like references to like from 1992 to 1996. You know, actually only 4 years, but still, you ruled a quarter of the world. Yeah.
It's not bad for some random dude to take over a quarter of the world over 4 years. Like, that's... Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, because, you know, as they say in this episode, too, people started to pretty much fight them immediately.
Yeah.
Because people were like, no, I don't want to be ruled over a dictator. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how smart and sexy and cool you are. I don't like dictators.
Cool and sexy I am.
Yeah.
The least believable part, if anything. People are perfectly willing to be ruled over by sexy people. Just ridiculous.
It's part of the human condition.
Yeah.
We like sexy people. We like saying yes to sexy people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't say that there weren't other people joining them.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely, you know, there was only so many Supermen, so they definitely had people, like, you know, serving them, you know. Yeah, but Khan's not so super. He gets his butt kicked by Kirk. He's like, I'm 5 times as strong as you. And he's like, I can still hit you with this big stick. And it really, really hurts.
I'm just going to break some of your vertebrae and assume that's not going to kill you.
Yeah. We can put those McCoy can put those vertebrae back together.
Yeah, we saw him make an incredible recovery after something mysterious tried to kill him in the cryo chamber. Or maybe that was just a recovery after being asleep for several hundred years.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they said, they were never really designed for, like, to operate for 200 years, so...
Yeah.
They turned it back on and his shit started to malfunction. Or maybe one of his, like, second in command sabotaged
the second would wake up and he'd be in
thinking command. That he'd be. But these guys all seem pretty loyal to Khan. So.
Yeah, they seem to like him a lot, actually.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
I'd assume that they're all loyal to his face.
Yeah, I would assume that, yeah.
Yeah.
This feels like a very much, as long as he's conscious, I am definitely loyal to this man. He's very
Yeah, that is true. That's what they said. They said, you know, these guys all had superior intellect and superior ambition, and they all started fighting each other immediately after taking over their various countries.
Yeah, the idea that they've all agreed that he's in charge, because, no, he definitely has earned being in charge. Now for the assassination attempts, and if any of them succeed, it's because he wasn't the best anymore.
Yeah, these guys are all La Sombra on Path of Power in the Inner Voice.
Yep.
Man, now I kind of want to see the mirror universe stuff with these guys, where they're all pacifists and
yeah,
in their place, and are like, guys, we don't need to murder each other for rank, guys.
Remember when we brought peace to one quarter of the earth, and you fucking Terran Empire motherfuckers kicked us out?
You're assuming that the mirror universe isn't worse.
I would.
Yeah,
it might be worse. That would be.
This might be the good version. This might be the good guys.
Yeah.
The
mirror universe is just marauders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing that it depends on how mirror-y you want stuff to be.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of makes sense and what doesn't. Like,
you don't know if you want it to be opposite day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, lately, I started reading some graphic novels from DC about the Crime Syndicate.
Yeah.
Which the evil universe version of the Justice League. Right? And in their universe, things are literally backwards. Like, the sun rises in the west and sets in the east. And like the continents are all mirrored, and like good equals bad and bad equals good. And like stuff does it like the founding father of America is Benedict Arnold.
Oh wow. Okay, that's great.
Washington. That's and like all this weird, it's so weird. Like, and it's like, if you know your DC stuff, like when you look at it, it's like all the bad guys are good guys and all the good guys are bad guys. So it's like, you know, the Jester is trying to fight Owlman in Gotham City to, like, end his reign of terror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's weird. Great.
Yeah, I love that kind of shit.
But, like, it also makes no sense if you think about it for more than, like, 2 minutes in any detail. You're like, but...
Yeah, why would it just everything be backwards?
But what?
Just exactly opposite day.
But it's interesting too, because in some characters are opposite in certain ways, and somebody makes this point, and they're like, yeah, the Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern that you guys have in your evil universe, is like very cowardly and like super anxious and fucked up. But like your evil Superman, Ultraman. His name is Ultraman. Is still pretty much like Superman, just like super cruel.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so they're like, that's interesting the way some things flip, but don't other. So yeah, so I don't know if the Star Trek mirror universe, the eugenics wars were just super worse. You know, does the bad become good and the good become bad, or does everything just get worse in the mirror universe? Does everything just get more bad?
We made sure they had superior intellect, but it's not our fault that superior intellect needs to eat infant brains. Infant brains.
Yeah, that might be the least believable part to me, mostly because I still don't think anybody knows exactly how to really quantify intelligence all that well, other than in really general terms, like being able to, you know, encompass complex concepts, and you know, hold various, you know, abstract thoughts in your head or whatever. But like, I don't think there's any understanding really right now of from neuroscience of like how the brain actually does most of that stuff.
Yeah.
So like, how would you make someone more intelligent is probably a question a lot of neuroscientists now would probably just like shrug at you and be like,
there is some broad understanding of the overall function, but
yeah.
As far as identifying genetic markers for certain intellectual traits, we are in the weeds on that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's some markers that have been identified for certain traits, but whether or not you can call stacking all of those traits into a pile intelligence or a deeply neurologically dysfunctional human, basically flip a coin.
Yeah, yeah. Intelligence is fucking weird.
It is. It is.
When I see, I always sort of think about it a little bit when, like, in something such as this, when they talk about someone having super intelligence, and I'm like, so that means he has the ability to memorize the floor plan of the Enterprise and figure out how to take over the computers. I guess it's just, it's always just a very convenient, I'm trying it's, not to is, say trope,
it,
but like.
It is whatever is convenient for the writers.
Yeah, like, exactly, yeah.
You know, or like Death Note, where it's like I predicted that you would do this.
And I knew that you would do this if after you did
this.
Would,
I predicted that you would predict me predicting it, so then I predicted even more.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's stuff like that, which I cannot, I cannot justify as far as a plot line, you know, mechanically working around. And they never, you never see a lot of how unpleasant it might be to have super duper intelligence and how many awful things you might be thinking about all the time. Although actually, I mean, I guess we do kind of touch on that from time to time. From time to time, there are guys that are like, boy, I wish I didn't have to think about all the things I'm thinking about because I'm, you know, Dr. Manhattan or whoever.
Yeah,
that's true too. You do have characters like that some places.
There's a very specific series of Captain Marvel comics I want to get everyone to read that. But anyway, that was Space Seed. obviously, thank you all for hanging out with me on a Friday evening.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't doing anything else.
My pleasure.
Do you guys, anyone have thoughts on a personal rating from 1 to 10? I like it.
I love this one. 9 out of 10.
Nine. I like 9, yeah.
Really? I'm kind of...
That's
like
you're allowed.
4, dude.
4?
Yeah. So he gets pretty far and taken over the Enterprise just by, what, being a suave bully?
Being super smart and a manipulative suave bully, yeah. And then he's executing people by suffocating them. But he doesn't actually succeed in any suffocations, I don't think. You're definitely allowed to give it a 4.
Murdering the whole bridge crew doesn't get him what he wants. Murdering the whole bridge crew does not get him anything.
Yeah, he just likes to threaten to murder everyone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the idea that he's a softie until his wife gets murdered, and then he just goes on a rampage in the movie. Where it's all like, no, everybody deserves to be ruled by me. It could be the whole mentality. You deserve my great
power. No, the whole, in the movie, the whole bit about him being like, I'm mad about my wife is just him giving excuses for why he wants to conquer everybody.
Obviously, he loves taking over things and suffocating people and sticking brainworms in people.
He also picked up an abandoning people on Planet Kink from Kirk.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good idea, Kirk. I liked that. Let's drop you on this planet. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It is. There's definitely a lot of silly stuff going on. I mean, I love it when people are fighting in that big empty engine room.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, thanks. If anyone has any further comments on Space Seed.
Nope.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so the question of the week for this one is, What is your favorite character who gets frozen or put into a suspended animation and then sometime later awakens to a world they do not recognize? Oh yeah, Koro weighs in. Mine is the guy on TNG who was like a rock star who destroyed his body with drugs and was rich enough to get frozen, but he looks and acts like a normal 45-year-old guy in a button-down shirt. Locke says Ripley with the line, "Did IQs drop sharply while I was away?" That's a great line. I love Ripley. And I mean, as a matter of fact, if we're going that route, my favorite character that was placed in suspended animation is Jonesy. But I guess I don't know if Jonesy would or would not recognize the world he is awoken to. I don't know if Jonesy's ever been on Earth, I imagine. Anyway, Locke also says the revivals from Transmetropolitan deserve an honorable mention. I think I've read like one volume of Transmetropolitan, and I probably, that's something that I've been saying for years that I should read. Saint simply says Philip J. Fry, and that might be the correct answer. And that was it. That was the responses we had for this question. Oh man, do I have to come up with a question for next week? It's Klingons. It's going to be something about Klingons. I'll put it in Discord. If you're listening to this and you think you would like to answer the question of the week, come and join my Discord. You can find a link to it at koyadk.tv. Yeah, I'm Dave. Thank you, Chris, for joining me, and also Saint and Weebs, and on this one, Fickle Pickle Pie and Chaos Confetti, a.k.a. Sean. Thank you to everyone. And we'll see everyone next week for that episode with the Klingons.